College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper.
Big Ten football is back.
This young man is a freak. Ohio State has all the talent. Stand up, you can make it, you just gotta stay committed. Can't just talk it, gotta live it. Can't just walk it, gotta sprint it. You can take it, just believe it. Gotta stand up and then achieve it.
One day removed now from the big news in the Big Ten, and still we wait on the Pac-12. Hello, everyone. I'm Wendy Nix alongside Rod Gilmore and Tom Luganbill. We will start this afternoon with some of the details about the Big Ten's return. It took a minute, but football will be back, or at least that's the hope, on the weekend of October 24th. The conference will begin play then and hopes to play an eight-game schedule over 8 weeks with one cross-division game. The conference championship game will be on December 19th if all goes as planned, and that's the day before the college football playoff selection day. Here's more head coach reaction, starting with Penn State's James Franklin.
You know, when I was able to finally tell them for sure that we are going to have a season, I mean, that's what football players do, and that's what football coaches do. So, you know, I think I speak for everybody in the building. There's a different kind of energy in the halls right now, which is exciting.
The guys were fired up. I can't stress that enough. They were really excited to hear the news. They loved the game. They loved to play the game. And now we just got to go, execute the plan accordingly.
We're excited about it. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be challenging. We're going to have to continue to make great choices.
I think it's good for the players who want to play. And, I'm sort of happy for the players. I was disappointed for any player who didn't get the opportunity to play this year, who, you know, wanted to play, wanted to compete, wanted to create value for himself. So at least, you know, they're going to have some opportunity to do that.
Reaction from both inside and outside the Big Ten, of course, happy that football will be back for those coaches and players. And Tom, it's interesting because a lot of these head coaches, and there were quite a few that stayed quite vocal, I think deserve a fair amount of credit from where we ultimately landed.
Absolutely, Wendy. I think that's the only reason why we're sitting here today with a Big Ten schedule in front of us. It went from the head coaches screaming to the rooftops, demanding answers. Why aren't we getting this information? Why has this communication been so poor? Then it trickles down to the players and the parents. You have social media as the ultimate tool to get the message across, and pressure continued to mount. And I truly believe that. I praise the coaches, players, and parents because I think they're the reason why this got revisited.
Luke, I think you're right about that, but let's not overlook the impact of live games last weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, I said last week there was going to be a lot of pressure on the Big Ten because there were going to be a lot of football games, and those players who weren't playing and those coaches who weren't coaching were going to be sitting all weekend watching and asking the question, how come we're not playing? How can you keep us when everybody else is playing? So this decision is good for the players, it's good for the fans, and it's good for the college football playoff because now you've got a legitimate chance of removing any kind of asterisk that would have been there.
Which nobody wants to see, but herein lies the rub, and there so often is a rub, right? The protocols for each conference differ, and in the case of the Big Ten, they are stringent, as you could argue they should be, but nevertheless, it could get tricky. Take a look. Daily rapid testing will begin on September 30th. Now, the results must be in before every practice and every game, and a player who tests positive will sit out 21 days. That's longer than in other conferences, and any team with a positive rate of over 5%, and I believe that's 5% or over, must stop all activity for a full 7 days. All of this begging the question, Rod, is this doable?
Listen, I don't want to rain on anybody's parade with all the excitement and everything the last day or so, but we're in the middle of a pandemic, and this is not going to be easy. I mean, you know, we know there are almost 200,000 people dead, and then in the college football season, we've got outbreaks on campus. We had a team last week, Georgia Southern, with more than 30 players who could not suit up. And we had Texas State last week, I did, Their quarterback was ruled out the night before the game. I've got Florida Atlantic this week, and Willie Taggart told me today he doesn't know if he's going to be down 15 players or more. So each week there's uncertainty, a challenge, and how they navigate this and get through this with no margin for error. Lugs, I'm not sure how doable it is.
I'm with you. I I'm as happy as anybody that the Big Ten is trying to move forward. But with these protocols being as stringent as they are, how in the world are they expected to actually field a team each and every week? You haven't built in open dates in bye weeks to reschedule games. Your quarantine period is a week longer than the other conferences. And the one area that they haven't yet addressed publicly is contact tracing. Because as it stands right now, and I've done games the last two weekends, as have you, Rod, is if you have a player test positive and you contact trace three or four players that are connected to that player, even if they test negative, they go in to the quarantine with that positive player. So what happens if that's how the Big Ten operates as well, and now your quarantine is a week longer? This is going to be very, very difficult to accomplish. I applaud the move, but there's a lot of bumps in the road here.
Yeah, you know, we get awfully excited about the fact that it's back, but we overlook that part of it. And you're right, the contact tracing is what I hear from coaches to be the biggest issue because players are not necessarily in a bubble. They're on campus in dorms. They're running across other students. And then, whoops, there you know. You may have a large portion of your team out, not because they tested positive, but because of contact tracing.
You know, it's that part, guys, that surprised me and I think surprised a lot of folks. I mean, there was a game canceled for this weekend where, again, it was more about the contact tracing than the actual players testing positive. And that's when it gets extremely dicey. Assuming this goes on, and again, eight games over the course of 8 weeks, one of the biggest questions when we heard the Big Ten will play is, what does this mean for the playoffs? Here's Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney.
Crazy year. Who knows how many games anybody's going to have. I think if they'd have started in November, that would have been, I don't think that'd have been feasible. I don't know much about it, but just from what I've heard, they're going to play eight or nine games or whatever, then I think that they certainly will have the opportunity to compete. I have no problem with that at all. I mean, you got some of the best teams in the country in that league, and it's not those players' fault. It's not those coaches' fault. And, I'm just glad that they're getting an opportunity to get back to playing.
I think that is the prevailing theory, Lukes, but I do have to ask, do you think we need a game minimum in terms of the playoffs?
I don't know how you can guarantee one. That's the problem is, and you heard Dabo's opening statement there, is we don't know how many games any of us are guaranteed to play, and they're all scared to death awaiting for that phone call that Mac Brown at North Carolina got today from an opponent that they're supposed to be playing saying that they can't play this week. So would you love to be able to get at least eight? Absolutely. Are they going to be able to? Nobody has a crystal ball.
Yeah, you can't have a minimum at this point. You got to wait and see how it plays out. Those conferences that have left themselves no margin for error, like the Big Ten, they're more at risk than, say, the SEC or the ACC. So we just have to wait and see where that's going to be. But it's going to be a challenge. We may very well have some teams that have played eight and some that play six that still make it to the playoff. You just don't know right now.
You just don't know. We also don't know, by the way, about some of these players who went ahead and opted out of the season when they believed there would not be one, and that includes Ohio State cornerback Sean Wade. He opted out. He'll join Kevin Negandhi on SportsCenter tonight at 6 and talk about what his plans are. Does he plan to opt back in and play for the Buckeyes or go ahead and prepare for the NFL draft as he had done the past few weeks? Coming up on College Football Live, you'll hear from the commissioner on just how close the Pac-12 is to returning and if they're too late to be involved in the college football playoff.
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. Welcome back to College Football Live, presented by Dr. Pepper.
With the Big Ten's decision to return, the only Power 5 conference without a plan to return to play is the Pac-12. And the impression was that six of its teams could not begin contact practices or competition. But California Governor Gavin Newsom says that is not the case.
I want to make this crystal clear. Nothing in the state guidelines deny the ability for the Pac-12 to resume. Quite the contrary. That has been a misrepresentation of the facts. But what is accurate, that the NC2A has made progress, and so we're committed to working with the Pac-12, working with the NC2A to keep our kids safe, to keep our coaches safe, to keep the coaching staff and friends and families safe, and to keep the larger campus community safe.
And then late Wednesday, John Wilner of the Mercury News tweeting, USC and UCLA athletic directors join forces and get approval needs from LA County to begin practicing once the Pac-12 signs off on a return to play. That's big for a potential Halloween return. Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott confirming that local approval is a huge step towards a return when he joined Neil Everett on SportsCenter at Night.
Well, you know, getting the local county approvals as soon as possible would allow our student athletes and our coaches to start what we think of as normal practice. The best case scenario is 6 weeks of practice training camp and, starting end of October, early November, but that's still subject to, county approvals, which we don't have yet. So that's the best case. And we're going to do everything possible to play this fall if we can play a Pac-12 championship game and have teams compete for a college football playoff if it's possible.
Our Pac-12 reporter Kyle Bonagura joins us now. And Kyle, given the news that the Big Ten will be back, what walk us through what's next and what has to happen for the Pac-12?
Yeah, so yesterday was obviously a really big step for the Pac-12. Getting Governor Newsom to say that they could go ahead and move forward with the season was key. The same news came out of the state of Oregon. But now, like Larry just said, they do have to wait on state or local officials to make the same approvals, right? So the city of Berkeley, Santa Clara County, and Los Angeles County all need to move forward and give USC, UCLA, Cal, Stanford the go-ahead to practice in cohorts of larger than 6 to 12, which had been the state guidelines. So the next step for the Pac-12 is tomorrow, the CEO group, which is the governing body, which includes chancellors and presidents from each of the 12 schools, they'll have a call early afternoon, West Coast time tomorrow, to discuss everything that has happened over the last several weeks. It's not clear if there's going to be a vote to decide how to move forward tomorrow, but that's certainly, according to people I've talked to, in the picture, that could happen. The group will both discuss basketball and football and how to move forward. There'll be an update from the conference's medical advisory board, which was instrumental in forming the plan to postpone the season initially back in early August. And so my understanding is that there's going to be a lot of things discussed. They're going to be looking at anything from a 6 to an 8, maybe even a little bit longer, a game season for the Pac-12. Like we learned from the Big Ten yesterday, it's not possible to have any built-in bye games, so that's going to make it difficult to get through a season because we've seen how many postponements and cancellations are happening on a weekly basis. But the Pac-12's hope is that because they have the daily testing capability, or they will shortly, they'll be able to go smoothly and hopefully participate in the college football playoff.
Kyle, thank you. And certainly as soon as we heard the news from the Big Ten, you had to feel like the pressure was on, or at the very least, all eyes, Rod, were on the Pac-12. How much pressure is there to get these athletes back on the field?
Yeah, Wendy, I have to share that a head coach said to me that he knew the NFL would play, that the SEC would play, and Texas would play, uncertain about everybody else. Now, there's a lot of pressure on the Pac-12, and Lugs, I know you're going to beat up on the Pac-12 in a minute, because the narrative out there is, as far as the college football playoff is concerned, what's it matter how many games the Pac-12 plays, when they start or whatnot? But this is 2020. Weird things happen. They deserve a chance to be in the mix should they get started. And I think they should start, time it out with the Big Ten, to start on the 24th. I know they're talking about 6 weeks of prep time. I don't think they need that much. They can cut it to 5 and get by with that. And the other thing is that the politics are lining up for the Pac-12. You heard the governor. The counties are coming on board. Berkeley mm-hmm. is the one that you worry about, but Nancy Skinner, state senator, is the one who is behind the name, image, and likeness statute in California, and she is supportive. So I think that's going to happen. I think the politics are there. They just need to start moving quickly.
I actually think it's very important, Rod, for the Pac-12 to play. But two things concern me. Number one, and I totally agree with you, you don't need 6 weeks. You talk to every one of those coaches out there and their players, they're chomping at the bit. They could do it in four and be able to play a game. And then most importantly, you, if you're going to do this, don't do it and not play for anything. You can't start in late November or anything like that and be playing for nothing when everybody else is done and had a chance to play for a championship. So I want the Pac-12, if they're going to do this, to your point, Rod, do it in line with everybody else so you have a chance to play for something. Otherwise, why even do it?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, if you shave it to 5 weeks of prep time and you go right ahead and start working on the presidents now, you got the rapid testing that's going to come online, go get started now and get it set up, match the Big Ten, and then we have no issues with the playoff. Everybody will have a shot.
Yeah, it just seems to make the most sense, guys. And you can see everybody politically sort of saying, hands off, hey, it's not us. We're not the reason they're not playing. So we'll see what happens with this meeting on Friday. We do have college football this weekend. And coming up next, the only matchup of ranked teams this weekend, Derrick Kings, Miami Hurricanes, and Louisville. We'll talk about that straight ahead.
National Voter Registration Day is September 22nd. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
College Football Live is presented by Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville.
I don't know what else to say except thanks. We're going to football. What a day.
College game day will be there. It's our Saturday night football game. It's the number 17 Hurricanes. They head into Louisville to take on the number 18 Cardinals. The timing, 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on ABC and the ESPN app as well. Time for our weekend wake-up brought to you by Wendy's Breakfast. Derrick King passed and rushed for a touchdown in 16 straight games. And by the way, that's the longest streak in FBS history. The previous record, Tim Tebow's 14 straight games. And Luke, what takes front and center for you in this one?
Well, I think it's Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rod.
That's on me.
Yeah. Step aside. Step aside, Lou. Come on. Wendy, I'm all in on Miami and Louisville. Derrick King is the best quarterback they've had in at least 5 or 6 years. Brad Kaya might have been the last one. But this is a bigger test for him. He had UAB last week. He will be tested by the Louisville defense. And remember, he ran well last week, but his accuracy came and went. So he can't afford to do that. If he is on, we can start talking about the U coming back. This will be a big test for D.R. King.
I think it's going to be a huge test, too, and a great football game. And I'll say this, guys. This is an important week for the University of Miami. They need to show that they can handle success. They need to put together consecutive, quality, promising performances so that they can generate some confidence. They can generate a locker room of chemistry that can lead to further wins down the road. There's just a lot riding on this, in my opinion, for Miami.
It makes a lot of sense, and that momentum can make such a difference. Let's take a look at our Dr. Pepper Championship Drive Game of the Week, and that game, too, coming up. 14th-ranked UCF playing its season opener on the road against a Georgia Tech team that is coming off a road win at Florida State. Now, according to ESPN's FPI, UCF has a 78% chance to win this game. This time, I'll get it right. Luke, what are you watching for in this one?
Yeah, Rod, be quiet. I'm going here. All right. I'm really excited. I'm really excited to see how the freshman Jeff Sims at Georgia Tech performs. Had to go on the road, difficult environment against Florida State. Wasn't perfect, but boy, was he poised. They got a future star in the making. So I think that Georgia Tech got a little confidence. They got a little momentum. They're playing at home. UCF has never beat Georgia Tech. And UCF has had at least 10 players opt out of this season. So this is an intriguing matchup. Maybe a better one, Rod, than maybe it looks on paper initially.
Yeah, I think that's right. And, you know, kudos to Georgia Tech for, you know, the win over Florida State. I'm still trying to get used to the fact that there's no option at Georgia Tech, but I really see this as a big game for UCF. You know, they've got a lot of players out, as you mentioned, but, you know, this is a year, if you're ever going to have a group of five team make a run for the playoff,
Oh, yeah.
This is the year when it could happen. And if UCF has the same kind of season they've had in the past couple of seasons, they would be in the mix for it. So I'm anxious to see how they hold up on the road with Georgia Tech.
Guys, let me ask you this. We'll just circle back because it's still what we're talking about primarily. The Pac-12, again, meeting on Friday. You have the MAC meeting on Saturday. It looks like everybody trying to pave a way to a return. You know, is this weekend, we've had college football, but are we moving inching closer, if you will, to feeling like we have a full slate and a full, almost normal, I can't believe I'm using that word, weekend of college football?
Well, Wendy, you know, it's fascinating because when this all began, everyone thought, geez, you know, there's going to be a lot of pressure on the SEC and the ACC, you know, and the Big 12 for going forward and what's going to happen. And then it flipped. You know, you had this weekend where things have gone well and they've sort of marched through the issues of contact tracing and positive tests. And now the pressure is on every other conference that's not playing. Even the Mountain West now is looking at playing when they said a couple of weeks ago that they were only going to play in the spring. That's changed. So the pressure has changed and flipped dramatically. And, yeah, I think everyone's trying to get in and get started as soon as they can.
Well, and let's not ignore the big elephant in the room as well. And finances are a big part of this, particularly for some of these Group of Five programs where, you need the revenue that will be coming in, whether it's through television contracts, so on and so forth. So I think it's important that everybody at least try. Try to move forward, and then
Luke,
it's up to
forget.
Again. Yeah.
Yeah, don't forget about the cost of testing. I mean, well, Damon
absolutely.
Evans in Maryland said that he estimated it's $700,000 to $1 million for any program that does it. And that's death for an FBS program, a Group of Five. That's too much money.
And we saw James Franklin say, hey, everybody's got to make good choices. And that's how you move forward. When you're away from the building, make good choices as student athletes.
Well, that's exactly what they're going to have to ask of these guys. They can't do the NBA thing. They're not going to be in bubble. They're student athletes. They're going to class. They're around campuses. But again, right now, the Pac-12 meeting tomorrow. We wait
hey,
and
Wendy.
See the Big Ten set to
Happy
return
birthday,
the weekend of October
Wendy.
24th.
Happy birthday,
and this,
Wendy.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Happy birthday.